And welcome back to What Would Father Say here on Armor of God Catholic Radio. This is Tom McNeil again with Father John Gazzaldo from St. Luke. I appreciate everybody tuning in. We want to spend a little bit of time talking about
what
Lent really means.
Yes.
So this is like, this is our first Friday of Lent. And so we've already kind of been through, well, I guess we're in our second day of really what I think causes so many people consternation, which is the fasting and the abstinence. So
yeah,
let's start with that. Why? I guess the first part is,
well let me today.
Go ahead.
It's not a fasting and abstinence, just abstinence on Friday. Yeah. It's only we get off pretty easy in the West, you know, and even post Vatican II. Yeah, most Catholics, only they were have to fast is Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. Mm-hmm. So, and we can go into the reason for that, but, and we're asked to abstain from fish today and Fridays during Lent and Ash Wednesday because, I'm sorry, not fish, but meat.
Mm-hmm.
We're asked to abstain from meat because meat has always been a food associated with celebration and feasting. Even the word carnival, carne is in that word, and that lets you know what originally what was a carnival. It was a feast of meat. And when they said, hey, let's have a feast, they didn't say, let's cut down celery stalks and eat carrots. No. They killed the fatted calf, or they ate meat, and that was a sign of celebration.
Right.
But on Fridays during Lent, we try to do our best to have a somber, more solemn mode because it asks us to remind ourselves that someone sacrificed for us on a Friday. Now, traditionally, the church has always said on Fridays would be some kind of penitential. I try not to eat any Friday meat, and meat on any Friday.
Yeah,
if I do, I try to fast a meal a day, or you know, do some other kind of penitential.
Mm-hmm.
However, we can abuse that. I'm going to go ahead and confess something here. When I was in seminary, there was several Fridays during Lent that the seminarians would go out to the local fish fry and have all-you-can-eat catfish, French fries, and coleslaw. That's not exactly what Jesus had, the church has in mind. but I will say,
but explain to us now what if I'm eating fish. The church says I'm supposed to abstain from meat. If I'm eating fish, what's the deal?
So fish is not a celebratory food. I don't know about you, but I don't like fish.
Right, but I mean, if I go to this all-you-can-eat buffet, what's the issue?
I think the issue is it goes against the spirit of the law.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if I go out and eat all-you-can-eat popcorn, I mean, remember the church is 2,000 years old, and they didn't have all-you-can-eat. You know, one of the ways the church kind of said you can, on other Fridays during the year, you don't have to abstain from meat, had to do some other kind of penitential
mm-hmm.
practice. Because some cultures don't eat meat at all. I mean, I was in Ecuador, and only rich people ate meat. And so to give up, they would say, well, when we get meat, we eat it.
Yeah.
Most time we eat rice and fish and vegetables. And rich people eat meat. And when we do have, let's say a calf, or that was for a day of celebration. So what do we say to them? You know, give up something else, do something else. But what happened was all the church changed that. You really need to be doing something on Friday. That's a great testimony to our faith when we abstain and fast. Because abstinence and fasting are not natural. They're supernatural. We're not animals. Animals have no capacity. I always tell people, I had a dog. You never met Floyd, did you?
No, I did not.
I had a bulldog named Floyd. He was fat and ugly. When he died, he weighed 91 pounds.
Wow.
But if I ever had like a piece of raw meat in my hand, he'd had no capacity to sniff it and go, you know, it's Friday. I really should watch my cholesterol. I really need to cut down.
Cut some calories.
He has no capacity for that. None. He only does what he's driven to do. So when we, especially on Wednesday, on Ash Wednesday, Good Friday, and other Fridays, when our stomach starts to growl, when we're fasting from something like sweets, people always, you know, sometimes people give up sweets, and I think that's been kind of castigated. I mean, I'm addicted to sugar.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm having any sugar, I get a headache. But it's a way of telling our bodies, you don't rule us. Because we love with our bodies, we sacrifice with our bodies, and if we only do with our body, then we are slaves to our bodies. Animals only do what their bodies tell them. They're not monogamous. Okay, maybe seahorses or something.
Yeah.
They are loyal, but they always want to survive. But we say love is about sacrifice. Love is about, no, I don't have to do this. My body's going to scream at me. Hey, feed me. Hey, scratch me. Hey, I need to be satisfied. But we say, no, we're Christians. And the Lord sacrificed his body for us on this day. And in a small part, we can sacrifice too. And it becomes a prayer. It becomes a prayer. I offer this. And one thing we did do well in seminary, we were asked to give up a meal, especially during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then chip into, like, we had this little rice bowl thing, $5 or $10, what we would have paid for that meal. So now our fasting is helping someone else.
Yeah.
We're giving up a meal for you. You're being lifted up, and now I'm practicing self-mastery. Mm-hmm. Self-mastery.
So why does the church expect us, want us to go through this, using air quotes, 40 days of suffering?
Well, of sacrifice. Of purging.
Listen, it's suffering. When I drive past Whataburger on Friday, it's suffering.
Yeah, I know
suffering.
What you mean. It's not and it's supposed to be freedom. When I drive past Whataburger and I don't pull in and I'm hungry, it's almost euphoric for me now. Wow. I am free of this.
Yeah.
You know, someone was talking about, I was listening to Trent Horn. You know, there's a place that serves cheeseburgers and the buns are actual glazed donuts. Can you imagine that?
That's a heart attack waiting to happen.
That is pornography. Just thinking about it, I'm having to do this. I'm having to do this. But self-mastery is freedom. And so why does the church... Now, Lent has a... Do you want to go through, like, the history and where that came from? I think it'd be helpful for people.
Yeah.
You know, only we in the English-speaking word call it Lent. You know, in Spanish, it's called Cuaresma. It just means 40. Other languages, it's Cuaresma. The 40 days. And that... Who gave us that was Jesus in the desert. When he fasted and prayed and was tempted by the devil... and the devil tempts us at our weakest. That's because he's a coward. So reminded us that he thinks we're going to give in, and we're tempted to. When we overcome temptation at our weakest, we are victorious. And he tempted us with, you know, Jesus with something good, things that are good, like bread. Hey, you're hungry, have something to eat.
Yeah.
No, I don't have to do that. Hey, listen. Why don't you display your power? The angels will save you. You know, once. No. Hey, I'll give you all of this. You will be. All the world will accept you. You'll be like Superman. Everyone will bow before you. No, that's not how I'm going to do this. But those are all the things we are tempted to. immediate gratification, power, and fame. But Jesus says to his apostles, no, you're going to be the servant of servants. You're going to lay down your life. And although food is good, and all things are good, but abstaining from them lets us know that our bodies, because, you know, addiction, all this stuff, addiction is like letting a dragon, vampire in your house, and then he doesn't leave. Hmm. Becomes the master of the house. That's what sin does. So Lent started with Jesus, you know, with his 40 days. Mm-hmm. But also in the early days of the church, with the catechumens, those preparing for baptism, they were asked to enter into an intense time of fasting and prayer to prepare for baptism. You're about to be saved. So they're preparing to become members of the church. So this is where it gets interesting. For many parts of the church, they weren't allowed even inside the church during Quaresma. Yeah. They had to stay outside and douse themselves in ashes. It was a way of prayer, of humility, and fasting to prepare ourselves for the glories of heaven. You know, the better we fast, the more we enjoy the feast. Right. You know, this is even echoed in marriage. I know I'm jumping around here, but sorry about that.
That's all right.
This is echoed in marriage. When couples want to get married in the church, but we find out they're living together, you know, they're living together or living like husband and wife, we say, well, do you want there to be a newness to your wedding night? And they never say no, especially the bride. Say, how new do you want to be and have it? So if you're having steak every night, and you have steak on your wedding night, is it going to seem all that special?
Right.
And you and I both know sometimes there have been Lents in the past that got by us. Easter came, and we're like, oh, big deal. I mean, it didn't seem like. But if we had fasted well, fasted in prayer and give alms, sacrifice, when Easter came, it was all that much more glorious. The way the weather seemed, the world seemed, even the flowers, you're just excited. And I love going to Spanish Mass and them singing Resucitó. Muerte, ¿dónde está la muerte? You know, I mean, wow, this is exciting. But if Lent was just the same, just another Sunday.
Yeah.
Because the Lord wants us to enjoy ourselves. He wants us to be happy. It's kind of like a vacation. You right. enjoy vacation if you've earned it. You enjoy salvation if you've, not that you earn it, but you prepare for it. And marriage, if you prepared well, the wedding night can be magical, new, exciting. I always think about when I was in Mexico, well, it was a couple of priests on a vacation, and we met up with three couples that had just gotten married. We went on this snorkeling trip, and they came and picked us up, and they were in the bus with them. And we're like, oh, look, you guys just got married. I remember asking one of them, so, man, how do you enjoy married life now? It's a big deal. Ain't no big deal. We've been living together for years. I don't know what the big deal is. How sad.
Yeah.
So that leads into my next thing. What happened was the catechumens were outside fasting and praying and dousing themselves with. And so the people who are already Christians, they would look at them almost with jealousy. You know, why don't we do it with them? Why don't we redo what we did? Remember how glorious that was?
Yeah.
Why don't we enter back into like a catechumen fast and pray and give alms so we can enjoy Easter just as much as they do? And then at the Easter liturgy, you know, everybody makes their baptismal vows again.
Right.
They get a sprinkling. It's like they can relive it. And if they prepared well, they relive it. It's that much more impactful. Because that's the problem with Christianity. Are we making an impact?
Yeah.
Are we credible? Or are we just another vanilla religion that says, you know, just be nice to one another and just be kind? And Jesus was all about being nice and making sure everybody felt welcome. No, he wasn't. What Christianity do you belong to? We have a Christianity that demands something from us. It's demanding of you. Is demanding of me. You made vows to one woman. In doing so, you rejected all women. Guess what? Tom, Marriage is not natural. It's not. Hmm. It's not natural. It's supernatural. It demands discipline. Celibacy demands discipline. Yeah. But I would say when you have some guy living with his girlfriend, contracepting, having sex, not knowing whether they're going to... I'm much more happier than any of them. They're miserable. They think they're happy. But if you would... I mean, we have the statistics to prove it. Not people, especially women, are less happier than ever. Why? Because they've lost what it means to be motherhood, and marriage is not a goal.
Hey, folks, if you're just now tuning in, this is Tom McDew and with Father John Gisaldo on What Would Father Say?
Yeah.
And if you just missed the first part, we're talking a little bit about Lent and what it actually means, as we are on our first Friday of Lent here. If you missed the first part, you can always tune back in on Sunday at noon and catch the rebroadcast. And mark your calendars from this point forward to check out What Would Father Say on Fridays.
We should rename this show to Two Rather Unattractive Old Guys. Maybe that's what we should call this.
There's a reason it's on radio.
That's right. I talk about Ash Wednesday just for a second?
Yeah, fine.
Do you have something else?
Let me just say this.
Okay, go ahead.
And you're probably going to talk about this, but what's the point of the ashes?
Yeah. Well, that's, again, Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
What people would do would fast, and they would cover themselves in ashes because it was humbling. Was humiliating. Why would you smear dirt on yourself? Because you wanted to sacrifice. It was the opposite of vanity. And so, you know, even in the book of Jonah, you know, when they go into Nineveh,
mm-hmm.
How do we show the Lord we want to serve you? We are willing to be humble. They cover themselves in ashes and fast and prayer. This is going to cost us something. The sacrifice makes the prayer powerful. And so, and what I love is what we get to say to people. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. That alone should smack us in the face. I always tell people, it's a fancy way of saying, you're gonna die. I mean, we don't, that'd be considered rude. You're gonna go in the ground. You know, you asked me how my day was. I just did a funeral today, and someone cremated them, and we just did the funeral before I walked over here. But even death, we sanitize. We don't even say death. We say he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
He's no longer with us. How's he doing? Well, he's in palliative care on hospice. And what does that mean? And if you ask people that, they'll get quiet. Well, you know, he's got not much time left. You mean he's going to die? We're going to put him in the ground 6 feet under? Well, yes, but we don't say it like that. Why not?
Yeah.
Again, life is messy. It is dirty. It is gritty. That's why Adam means dirt man. That's what it means. Man mm-hmm. of the earth. Adam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so if we remind ourselves that we live with that day, one day we will die and we'll go before the Lord. We will be judged. That's going to happen. And Jesus' mercy, as the catechism says, ends at death. We don't get to stand before God and say, we're sorry. That freaks people out. But his mercy ends at death. It is irrevocable. We can't go back. Injustice, we can't. There's no... You know, like Father Guido Sarducci, we get to go back and try again.
Yeah.
And we got $10.75 an hour and have to go pay for our sins. No, God is infinitely just and infinitely merciful. And he is not a punk either.
Mm-hmm.
To remind ourselves to live with that day in mind, you are dust and to dust you shall return. And to keep that in mind, live now with that day in mind. And that starts with humility, smearing our faces with dirt. Enter into fasting and prayer, because that reminds us who made us and who we were made for. We didn't ask to be born. We asked to come into this world, and it won't be our choice to go out. It's not supposed to be.
Now, there's always a meme that goes around right before Ash Wednesday of how did you get your ashes? You know, and do you get the definitive, nice, perfect cross? Do you just get the little smudge and the dirt mark and the, you know, and you get the psychological pictures? It's like, what is your ashes actually?
Yeah,
look
you know
like?
Who did that was Bill Donahue of Theology of the Body Institute. I had Father Monsignor Danny Flores, he's the Bishop of Brownsville. He used to put this thing on us. He had this big old all the way across your head.
Sweet on me. I like to go to the store though, and you always see the people invariably they're like, and they try to be really, you know, kind of
something on your head.
Quiet. Hey, you got my little. It's Ash Wednesday, bro.
Or go down to Long John Silver's and everybody in line has one of those. But that conversion begins with humility. When someone realizes their sins, it hits them. They're flat on their backs, howling. There's a theology, the John Paul II Center, this guy said this once. He goes, when we discover our core wounds, our core sins, you will cry for a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when St. Paul was blinded for how many times? I mean, he went through hell.
Yeah.
And when he came out the other side, he was ready to hit the road because he was covered in dirt and blinded and needed other people's help. It's the most humbling thing ever. You know, I had a grandfather. He was a good man, but he wasn't a churchgoer.
Mm-hmm.
He was always a proud and strong man, always survivor guy. But the only time I ever saw him cry is when me and my brother were helping him to go for a walk in the hospital with his gown on.
Mm-hmm.
It broke him.
Mm.
It broke him. He is no longer in charge. His body had failed him. Now, he was a drinker and a smoker.
Yeah.
And he ate garbage. And he never went to church. And so now, on his deathbed, imagine he had lots of, I wish I could do this over again. I wish I could do this over again. He was the one I was named after.
Is that right?
And I think about him often because he was always good to us. He was kind to us. But as his Alzheimer's and dementia kicked in, he became more angry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes that brings out the real us. What do we want people to remember us as? And do we, when it's too late, we can't, and you know, the priest came, he absolved him, gave him all that we can.
Mm-hmm.
Brought the priest many times. But he died when he was 79.
Mm-hmm.
My dad is 85. And my dad looks 10 times younger than he did when, I think about my grandfather, he looked elderly, old, broken.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking, 79 is old, but not that old.
Yeah, yeah. Not by today's standards, anyhow.
No, but to me, he was elderly and broken. His body had failed him. Started failing when he was 60s. But God really wasn't in his life just to be able to. I never saw him pray.
Mm.
But he was, in his defense, he was kicked out of his house when he was 13 by his stepdad and lived on the streets in San Antonio until he joined the army. People survived then.
Yeah.
And if you were in the 19, he's born in 09. So in the teens, you lived on the streets and you smoked and you did whatever you could to stay. And his mother got remarried, but he was never churched. So,
but that's just, you know, to bend us back here a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So we always hear the tenets, or the three legs of the stool, however you want to cat, whatever analogy you want to use.
Fasting, prayer, and alms.
Yeah, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving.
Yeah.
So why during the period of Lent are we so stressful of those three aspects of our faith that frankly should be 24/7?
Yeah. Well, it's a reminder of that because it's kind of like the liturgy of the Mass. Why don't we just celebrate Sunday every Sunday? Why don't we celebrate Sunday every day?
Right.
Well, because there's a progressive solemnity that lets us to highlight certain things so it doesn't become redundant.
Okay.
Mother Church in her liturgy plays this out. Why don't we just be in Lent all the time? Oh, well, no, that's not. Human nature has taught us that for each season we emphasize something else. Waiting at Advent, what are we doing? Well, Advent, we're actually twofold. Remember our older brothers and sisters, but Advent, we're reminding ourselves that Jesus will come again.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that every day? Well, we can't. Yeah, and even an atheist will say to us, and a Muslim, if you really believe that's Jesus in that tabernacle, I would be in there every day on my knees all day long. No, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
No, it's kind of like your married life. There's a rhythm. We emphasize different things at different times. But since Easter is the most important, we should be the most intense as we approach that. Because we also want to celebrate those feasts. There's a time to celebrate. You know, in Ecclesiastes 3, you know, it's the time to mourn, the time to celebrate. We can't do everything all the time. We can't emphasize it at different times. It's called a progressive solemnity. I don't know if you know the levels of even the Mass. You know, you have a ferial day, which is like today, we're not celebrating it. Then during Lent, there's commemorations, then memorials, then feast days, then solemnities, then solemnities that are holy days of obligation. Why does Mother Church do that? Those days deserve
special recognition.
But if we did them every day, they would lose their punch. So it's the rhythm of life, the rhythm of the church, the rhythm of Jesus' life. You know, and I think what's happened to some of our Protestant brothers and sisters, they have lost that. Yes. Yeah, your finger up.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to tell me something. Oh, okay. Once you start getting rid of these feast days and these, then it just becomes diluted into what I call therapeutic deism. Mm-hmm. When everything is just, oh, what would Jesus do? Let's just be kind to each other, live and let live. That's not Christianity. Christianity is something we do with our bodies. Practices that we enter. That's why the liturgy of the word, the ambo is on one side and the altar is in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
Now someone might say, if I keep going back to your point, why don't we just keep doing Mass, just having Mass all the time? Well, that's an abuse and it loses its impact.
Yeah.
So Mother Church just tries to, how can we make this most impactful?
Yeah.
So I hope that helps.
Yep. Hey, folks, we're gonna let you do the rest of your Lenten reflection and study on your own. Thanks, Father John, for that.
No, my pleasure.
We will pick up next week. We'll jump back into our catechism and we'll jump back into, our reflection, our study on, the Ten Commandments. We'll pick up with the Fourth Commandment. And, we appreciate everybody tuning in today. And, Father, if you'll leave us with the blessing, we'd be greatly appreciative.
And the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Have a great day, folks.
You
and we'll talk to you next week.